Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Crawley.
So last week we started a series on the names of God, and we looked at a number of things that were very important to underpin what is coming in the life of the church, that we have prayerfully considered doing the names of God because we feel that God wants to reveal His name. He wants us to know His name for four main reasons. Number one is because He wants us to understand His nature and character. Then when we understand His nature and character, number two, we are going to work in a covenant relationship with Him, an understanding of what it is to be in relationship with God. And we saw from the scriptures that He says, I know you by your name. Therefore, He wants us to know Him by His name. You cannot be in a relationship with someone you do not know. And then we said, when we walk in a covenant relationship with Him, number three, God wants us to walk in boldness and in authority. Now, authority is not based on performance. It is not based on activity. Authority is based on identity. So when you know God and you know who you are in God, then you are able to relate with Him, and that gives you boldness and authority as you walk with Him. In fact, the Bible says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, and whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So your victory is incumbent upon you knowing God and walking in the revelation of who He is and who you are in Him. And number four, we say that God wants us to know His names so that we can glorify Him. He says in the Bible that my name will be glorified in the nations. So God is keen on having His name glorified. God is keen on having His name being made known in the nation as a witness to the nation. That's what the Bible says. And so today we're just going to continue in the same breath. And the title of my message today is Jehovah Perazim. Now, all the names of God here in this calendar are in English. But the English translation is of what is either the Greek or the Hebrew name of God revealed in the Bible. And as we mention this name, it is not so that we can appear or sound theologically learned. No, it is so that we can have an understanding of the root word so that we can derive the meaning from there. Because sometimes, and I have to say this, I'm multilingual, I speak at least four languages. Sometimes translations and interpretations don't do justice to the original meaning. Sometimes things do get lost in translation. For those of you who speak a few languages, you know that. And actually, having read the Bible and having done some studies, I do understand that sometimes there are no good or sufficient English words to do justice to the original Hebrew or original Greek. So today we're talking about Jehovah Perazim. And I want us to go to the Bible in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 20. So Samuel, the guy I've told you about, who God gave as an answer to prayer, Samuel means I asked of him from the Lord, writes this book, historically, it's a historical context, historical book, and he captures something that happened in the life of David. Now, something very interesting. See, the Bible says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 20, sorry. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now, the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to read another portion of scripture from Prophet Micah, and God will give me grace to weave these two portions of scripture together so that we can get the full meaning of this. Micah 2, verse 12 through to verse 13. So Micah is a prophet who is prophesying the same time as other prophets. But one thing that he's really known for, Micah, is one of the prophets who spoke directly and located the actual birthplace of Jesus 700 years before Jesus was born. Is that not amazing? That God can say the exact place Jesus is going to be born 700 years before he's actually born. So I love reading the book of Micah. Micah chapter 2, verse 12 to verse 13. I'm just going to focus on verse 13. So it says 12 to 13. I'm going to focus on verse 13. The verse 13, the Bible says, "The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head." May the Lord bless his word. So David has been anointed as king over Israel. And having been anointed, you would expect or you would think that the days of him running and hiding and struggling was over because he has been anointed. But at the very moment when he stepped into his God-given position, when the anointing came upon him, the Bible says that the Philistines rose up against him. And I want to speak to somebody here today who might be wondering, why am I facing the battles that I am facing right now? Why does it feel like opposition and oppression has increased the moment I've decided to walk with God more faithfully? Or when I stepped into a new season, when I've stepped into a new calling, I came to tell you that you are in a battlefield, that you are at war. Life is spiritual. Things do not just happen. Things are caused to happen. And it is important as believers in Jesus Christ, we have that awareness and consciousness that things do not just happen. I like saying it, that sometimes when you see people rising up in opposition, be very afraid to respond with your kind of fleshly attitude because it might be something spiritual. Simple things like somebody shouting at you because you've just made an unwise maneuver on the road and they threw a word at you. Granted, you did a silly maneuver, but sometimes there is much more to it than what people say to you. So David, before the anointing, he was not a problem to the Philistines. But the moment he was anointed, the enemies rose up against him. And the answer here is very simple. Why does it feel like life is pressing hard against me? It is because the enemy resists progress. When you are doing nothing, you are not a problem to anybody. When you just acquiesce and sit back and you let life be, you know, whatever will happen, you just go with the flow. Nothing is happening in your life. You do not antagonize anybody. The Bible says one time Daniel decided, "I am going to pray unto my God." And when they discovered that Daniel was excellent in every way, they looked for anything to bring him down and they could not find anything apart from matters relating to his God. And he continued praying as normal. And the Bible says before that, at one point, when he understood from the scripture that it was a time for the promise of God to be fulfilled, he set himself to pray and fast. And he prayed and fasted. And 21 days, he was still praying and fasting. And then the angel appeared to him and said to him, "From the day you started praying, your answer was released." Unfortunately, the prince of Persia, the principalities withheld your request, and it had to take angelic warfare and intervention for the answer to be delivered to him. What is my point? The moment you decide, I will not pray, you are not a problem to the enemy. But that day when you say, today I will pray, today I will fast, that is when the devil throws everything, including the kitchen sink, at you. Because he knows what is about to happen. So David, the enemy rises up against him. The Philistines were not a bother to him before, when he was running in the wilderness. But once he was anointed king and he took his rightful place in God's purpose, they came after him. And it is the same with us sometimes. The battles intensify not because we are in the wrong place, but because we are in the right place. Sometimes the battles we face, it is the enemy opposing our progress. But here is the good news. The same God who gave victory to David at Baal Perazim is the same God who gives victory to us. So the Bible says when the enemy rose against David, what did he do? He went down to his stronghold. What is your stronghold? Last Sunday we saw that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. What is your stronghold? Where do you run to when all hell breaks loose against you? Where do you run to when you feel like you're losing your mind? Where do you run to when you feel like you've come to your dead end? Where do you run to? And David ran to his stronghold. And the Bible says soon thereafter, he inquired of the Lord. When he inquired of the Lord, God gave him victory. Verse 20 of 1 Samuel 5, where we've read, the Bible says, so David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated the enemy. And he said, as the waters break out, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, not my hand, not my army, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place is called Baal Perazim. Now, Baal Perazim in Hebrew means the master of breaking out, the master of breakthrough. Perazim means breakthrough, breaking out. It means breaching through. Baal in the Bible is a title meaning master. It means Lord. So Baal Perazim is the God of the breakthrough. But today we saw from last Sunday, we're going to call him by his name, Yahweh Jehovah. So we are calling him the God of the breakthrough. And David said, the Lord has broken through my enemies. I want to take you to a delivery room, a maternity ward in the Bible. A woman is in labor and she's carrying twins in her womb. And as the twins, it's interesting because actually the woman's great-grandfather was actually, the grandfather was actually a twin. I'm talking about Jacob's granddaughter, Tamar, the daughter of Judah. And in her womb, there are two babies pushing and shoving each other. A very interesting story. But the Bible says, when the time of delivery came, one of the children, I am not a midwife, I don't know how this works, but the Bible says, this child thrusted his hand out. Now, I don't know how that is likely to happen or how a baby can be born like that. But when he thrusted his hand out, the midwives were shocked. And they asked him, is this how you break through? Is this how you break out? And they took a scarlet thread and tied on his hand and they called his name Perez, breaking through. And then Perez pulled his hand and his other brother came out through normal delivery. What is my purpose? What is the purpose of me telling you that story? Is that when the time of breakthrough comes, no matter the hindrance, no matter the battle, no matter what is holding you back, the time has come and you have to come out. And that is why he was called Perez. And Perez later on became a mighty nation, he was a master of breaking through. So David here says that God has broken through Perazim. The Lord has broken through my enemies. And so what is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is a decisive moment when God's power intervenes in someone's life. A breakthrough is that moment in the life of a community where God shows up and does something that only God can do. A breakthrough is when God comes into your life and removes the obstacles that you are facing on your way to your destiny. A breakthrough is when God comes into your life and brings freedom and brings liberty, and you break out with victory and you are released from whatever is holding you back. It could be any form of bondage. It could be any form of captivity. It could be any form of oppression by the enemy. A breakthrough is when you come out of whatever is holding you back. So by God calling himself Jehovah Perazim, the God of breakthrough, it means that he is overcoming any spiritual blockade that has hindered your progress. And today I came to declare that by the word of God. His name is Jehovah Perazim, the Lord who breaks through for you, the Lord who overcomes every blockade against you, the Lord who shatters and breaks any hindrance on your way to your destiny. Praise the name of Jesus. Breakthrough refers to a shift in the spiritual atmosphere where God's power, where God's presence, and where God's glory manifests itself. It is a shift in the atmosphere. Sometimes we go for prayer meetings and we say, God, there was a mighty breakthrough today. Why? Because something shifted in the atmosphere. Other times you can be in a meeting and all you can feel is hard pans and you can feel blockades. Somebody once told me, I feel as if my prayers are not going beyond the ceiling. Why? There is no breakthrough. But when breakthrough happens, you know that you've gone straight into the courts of heaven. Hallelujah. What is breakthrough? Breakthrough looks like walls falling down. Breakthrough looks like chains being broken. Breakthrough looks like yokes and burdens being lifted. The Bible says the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. Breakthrough is that yoke that the enemy has put on you, on your children, on your business, on your family, being broken and being shattered into pieces. And just like it was with the nation of Israel, maybe some of us have been circling around the same issues for a very long time. Your prayers feel unanswered. Doors are shut in your face. Situations have refused to move. Today we came to announce the name of God, Jehovah Perazim. In the name of Jesus, we came to declare there shall be progress. We came to announce there shall be breaking through. You shall go through whatever barrier, you shall go through whatever blockade the enemy has put for you in the name of Jesus. Some of you, it could be a simple thing, just like getting a promotion at work. You see other people passing you. You see other people passing you being promoted. New people are employed and they just pass you by. Today, in the name of Jesus, may Jehovah Perazim break through for you. Bible says in the book of John chapter 5, there was a man who lay by a pool called Bethesda. And the Bible says for 38 years. I don't want to ask how many people are 38 and below, but if you are 38 and above, you know how long it took for you to be 38. 38 years, he lay at the same place. I'm well over 38, so I know how long it took me to be 38. 38 years lying at the same place. And now listen to this. Every single day was a day of breakthrough. Every single day, the Bible says the angel would come from heaven. He would stir the waters. And the first one, John chapter 5, go read it. And the first person to jump into the pool, they would be healed. So he saw someone come with cancer being healed. Someone come with leprosy being healed. He saw the cripples being healed. He saw the lame being healed. He saw depression being healed. He saw psychosis being healed. 38 years he lay on his mat. I don't even know how. Maybe he had some nurses there to do some nursing care. How did he go to the toilet? I don't know. I don't think they had catheters back in the day or bedpans. I don't know. Maybe he had some people who would nurse him, take him to the toilet and bring him back. You know, I talk like that because my wife is a nurse, so I know some of the language, clinical language or nursing language. But think about it for a moment. 38 years waiting for a breakthrough. And then on this day, a guy shows up. There is nothing to announce his presence, maybe just a little crowd coming alongside him. And he comes to the gentleman and he says to him, "Would you like to get better? Would you like to be healed?" And this man thinks, who is this dude? Does he not understand I've been here for how long? It seems he's like, he must be a visitor around here because I am known, you know. I am the one who tells other people where to strategically position themselves when the angel is coming so that they can jump in. I am the one who's been writing their recommendation letters. I am the one who's been doing their references. I am the one who's been ushering them. I'm the one who's been giving the phone numbers and telling them who to contact. But I am still waiting for my miracle. It is me. Who knows? I have a list of every incurable condition God has healed in this place. I am the one who tells you this marriage was reconciled, this child was delivered, this man came out of jail. I have the list of what God is doing in Crowley. I have been in church too long for me to testify what God has done. But I'm still holding on and waiting for my miracle. And then Jesus shows up and he asks him, "Would you like to get better?" And this guy, because he had become so accustomed to his condition, he didn't say yes. He looked at Jesus and he said, "I have no one to put me in the water when the angel stirs the water." And Jesus decided, if I engage in a conversation with this guy, he's going to miss on his miracle. And then Jesus looked at him and he said, "Take your mat and walk." And at that very moment, the man got his breakthrough. And I came to tell you that it doesn't matter for how long you've waited. Jesus is your breakthrough. You might be there saying, "I have no man to push me in the water when the angel comes. I have no one to make to take me to this particular office. I have nobody to usher me into this next level." You don't need any man. You need God. When God is your father, you don't need a godfather. Let me repeat that. When God is your father, you don't need a godfather. I know we don't have the youths here, but I like telling the youths, especially those ones in colleges and universities, when God is your daddy, you need no sugar daddy. Because God is your sufficiency. He says, "I have no man." And then Jesus decides, "I am the man. Rise up, take up your mat and walk." I don't need no angels to do my business. I don't need anyone stirring the water. I am here for you. Rise up and take your mat. Breakthrough came for him. And I came to tell you today that today, the same God, Bible says he is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same forever. What he did then, he can do today in Jesus' mighty name. When heaven steps in, what held you yesterday cannot hold you another day, because that is your breakthrough. So Prophet Micah, as I run towards concluding this, he looks at the nation of Israel and God gives him an oracle. He gives him a word to prophesy. Now, most of what Micah prophesies in the Bible is mainly doom, gloom, and judgment. A little bit like Jeremiah. Prophet of doom, gloom, and judgment. But in every indictment, in every accusation, God always has a way out. In every place where God indicts his people, he gives them the avenue to make amends. He tells them that this is what I have against you, but this is what I need you to do. So God prophesies to the nation of Israel, and then through Micah, and he tells them, he indicts them of the things that they have done bad. He tells them of the judgment that is coming. But on the other hand, he declares a breakthrough, and he says there's going to be a restoration. In fact, he says to those who will come back, he calls them the remnants. Can you tell your neighbor, I am a remnant? If you don't know what a remnant is that what remains behind. It is that thing that remains behind. You see, when the enemy is messing everything and everyone, you are still standing. You are still here. You are a remnant. Hallelujah. The enemy had an opportunity to take you out, but thank God he missed. That is why you are still here today. You are a remnant. You are the remnant of God. God spared you. God has rescued you. You are, I don't know how to say it, but you are the remnant. I remember at one time we went for a high school reunion a long time ago, just like about 2 or 3 years after we finished high school, and that's many years ago. And by the time we met after 2 or 3 years, about 7 of the guys we finished with in high school had already died. 3 of them had died from what I would call misadventures, because I don't want to dishonor anyone in their death. Like being shot by the police when stealing. And we sat there, and amidst the celebration and happiness, we also reflected and we said, God preserved us. We were not any different, but God preserved us. You are a remnant. So God speaks to the remnants through Micah, and he says, between the judgment and the blessing, in between, there is something that is going to happen here, and it's going to be a breakthrough. And so the image we have in the book of Micah then is people who are confined in a dark place. It is people who are in a prison. It is people who are held by some massive gates. And I began to ask God, when you give me this word, oh God, when you say that the one who breaks open the way will go ahead of me, why then, God, would I be in a place to need a breakthrough? And God told me a number of things. Number one, we need a breakthrough because we have come to a dead end. I know that is a word for somebody here today. When you find yourself at a dead end, God says through prophet Micah chapter 2 and verse 13, the one who breaks the way will go ahead of you. Gates hinder, gates restrict, gates stop. But today, he is going ahead of you. The Bible says, be lifted up, ye ancient doors. Ye gates that are holding us, be lifted up. Why? Because the King of Glory is coming through. Why do we need a breakthrough? It is because we get stuck. We get stuck in life. We get stuck in ungodly relationships. We get stuck in false beliefs. We get stuck in addictions. We get stuck in our personal history. We get stuck in all manner of areas, bad habits, bad relationship. And God says, you need a breakthrough. I am going to lead you out of this place by my victorious right hand. I am Jehovah Perazim, the Lord who breaks through for you. I don't know if you ever gotten stuck in the snow with your car. Does it snow in England? All right, yeah, 20 years I've been here and I'm yet to see this snow that I used to see on TV before I came to the UK. But if you want to get stuck, please come with me next time I go to Kenya, and you're going to drive on some muddy roads where you get stuck in the mud, and then the mud dries up and the car is still there. You will need a miracle to get you out of those kind of places. You can go forward, you can go backwards, you can go sideways. You are stuck. And God says, I am your Jehovah Perazim. That relationship you're not able to get out of, I am Jehovah Perazim. I will give you a breakthrough. That false belief that you've had as a stronghold in your mind, I am your breakthrough. I will get you out. That addiction, that compelling, obsessive habit that you know that is weighing you down and dragging and draining your energy. God says, I am your breakthrough. Human will and human power and effort and therapy can only do so much. But the divine intervention of your breakthrough will get you out. I don't understand if you know what it means to break. It means to shatter. There is no dialogue. There is no diplomacy. It's to break it into pieces. We're not negotiating with these things. We are going through no matter what. Why do we need a breakthrough? We need a breakthrough because it appears that time is running out. I've seen 24-hour breakthroughs on some very serious cases. I have seen instantaneous miracles just at the 11th hour when all hope was gone. God just intervenes. And I came to prophesy to someone here today. Your time has not run out. It's God who holds time in his hands. He has eternity in his hands. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of anxiety. I rebuke every worry where people are feeling, I am running out of time. You can actually feel your heart beating. I'm running out of time in this matter. God says, I am your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you something about the nation of Israel before I conclude. These guys, they were so oppressed by the enemy that songs were written about them. I don't know how bad your situation is that, you know, when two or three are gathered, they are gathered in your name because they are discussing. You know, you go to those meetings, you go to the workplace, and then, you know, at the back of your mind, when you see two people, three people discussing, you know, they're talking about you. Because of what you've missed. Okay, let me repeat my joke. Where two or three are gathered, they are gathered in your name. Because they are trying to discuss you. The Bible says when these guys were taken into captivity, when the enemy oppressed them, people sat down. In fact, the Bible's in the book of Jeremiah, professional singers sat down and composed songs to talk about their downfall. I came to tell you today that that shall not be your story in the name of Jesus. People will not sit down and discuss how the enemy has plundered you. People will not sit down and discuss how your children have become so messed up. People will not sit down and say how your business crumbled and how you fell from glory. People will not sit down and say how you lost your job. In the name of Jesus, you will not be used as an example of frustration. You will not be used as an example of failure. You will not be used as an example of any condition in the name of Jesus. So Micah says, songs have been sung about you. You've become a proverb. When people want a good example of a bad example, they point at you. Another joke, you'll get on your way home. You know, sometimes when we're trying to counsel our son and we have ideas of bad examples, you have to look for good examples to use as bad examples, as in bad examples that are perfect so that he can get the point. Because my son is like me, he has a legal mind, he's very argumentative. But when you give him that compelling example of how bad something is, he is satisfied. But I came to tell you that your children will not be used. When people are saying, I don't want you walking with so and so, it shall not be your children in the name of Jesus. So these guys, they were examples of failure and frustration. But I came to encourage you today, just like Micah prophesied. He says, for their king will go before them. You are the child of the Most High God. The Bible says that you are a masterpiece. I wish you had a mirror right now and you would look at yourself and you say, I am God's best. I am God's masterpiece. And I came to encourage you that in the name of Jesus, people will begin to see you as God's masterpiece, not as an exhibit A of the devil's work. In the name of Jesus. So, how do we get a breakthrough? It's very simple. Put for us Micah chapter 2 verse 13 again on the screen. It is God who breaks through for you. The Bible says the one who breaks open the way goes before his people. It is not five keys to success. It is not seven keys on how to be financially, whatever it is. You know, we have all these things happening. Seven keys of how to invest and how not to invest. Nine keys of how not to be scammed on cryptocurrency and all these things. It is the Lord who breaks through for you. So, their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. Three things. Number one, it is God who opens the way. May the Lord open the way for you in Jesus' name. He is your breakthrough. May he open the doors that no man can shut. The Bible says he has the key of David. That door that he opens, no man can shut. That door that he closes, no man can open. The Lord opens the way for you. Number two, he leads you in triumphant procession. So as God opens the way, you are coming behind him and he is leading you. Do you all know the train? Chris is not here this morning. I will use that example when he's here. You all know trains? Okay, you've all used trains, right? Southern, City and Thames Link, or whatever. What is a train? The train is that fast part. It is that engine. That is a train. And then everything else is known as cars or coaches. And then what happens? They are all put behind the train, and then they are trained. They follow the train wherever they are going. And today I came to exhort us by the word of God that it is the Lord who is training you. It is the Lord who is leading you. He is ushering you out in the name of Jesus. You are not doing it in your own effort. It is not your skill. It is not your might. It is not your power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. May the Lord train you how to raise your children. May the Lord train you how to be an efficient worker. May the Lord train you how to do business. May the Lord train you to do stuff in life. Bible says it's the Lord who trains my hands for battle. So he leads you. He opens the way. Then he leads you. And when he's leading you, you can have as many cars as you want. You can have as long as you want. Like the ones that go from London to Portsmouth, I think they have about 14 or 16 coaches. I don't care how many they are. But the point is, it's the Lord who is leading you. He leads us in triumphant procession, the Bible says. And number three, he fights every barrier that stands between you and your destiny. David declared that the Lord has broken through my enemies. So today, I want to conclude and say that there is no hopeless situation before God. God is able to break through in whatever situation. Romans 4 verse 17 to verse 25, Bible says, God is able to give life to the dead and call into existence the things that do not exist. That is the God of your breakthrough. He gives life to the dead. He can create something out of nothing. In that desolation you are right now, when you don't have two pieces to bring together, God can create something new from nothing. The Bible says the earth was formless without shape. It was void. And God, by his word, he created the world we see. May the Lord create something new in your life. May the Lord create something new in your marriage. May the Lord create something new in your relationship in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 45 verse 2, verse 3, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. In the name of Jesus, you will not be tricked by the enemy. May the Lord straighten the path for you. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, I, Jehovah Perazim, who calls by your name, I'm the God of Israel. God is going ahead of you. I don't know what you are facing this week, but I want you to have the confidence as you go into that office, as you write that letter, as you knock on that door, that God has already gone ahead of you. Before you meet that receptionist with your million-dollar smile there, before you do that good perfume and you put on your high heels and you walk into that office, can you know that God has already gone ahead of you? In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 35, 3 and verse 4. I want to read from the TPT version, the Passion Translation, it says, strengthen those who were discouraged. Strengthen those who were discouraged. Energize those who feel defeated. Some other version says, say to those who are brokenhearted. Say to the anxious and fearful, be strong and never afraid. Look, here comes your God. He is breaking through to give you victory. I wish somebody here would close their eyes and in the spirit see with their eyes of the spirit the Lord coming to give them their breakthrough. And he says he comes to avenge your enemies with divine retribution. He comes to save you. Hallelujah. Lastly, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that Christ is our breakthrough. The last verse I'm going to read is Colossians 2, verse 13 to verse 15. The Bible says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not cut away. The Bible says the uncircumcision of your heart. We were dead in our trespasses. And let me tell you something, when it comes to matters death, there is no resuscitation, no CPR. It can only be resurrection. He says, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So what is God saying here? That through the resurrection, death and the resurrection of Christ, we have attained our greatest breakthrough. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son he loves, to the kingdom of light. He's saying there in verse 13 that he forgave your sins. What a breakthrough. What a breakthrough. My sins are covered. My sins are wiped out. What a breakthrough. I have life eternal through him who loved me. What a breakthrough. Christ is your breakthrough. The biggest breakthrough you can ever have in life is to translate from time to eternity, is to translate from sin to death, from being a candidate of hell to a candidate of the kingdom of God, living forever with God in heaven. Christ, our breakthrough. And he says, number two, he canceled every debt, every ordinance, everything that was written against you. Now you see, this is where most people don't get it right, because you think, what is it that was written against me? But spiritually, in fact, some other version says, whatever demonic powers, spirits and principalities held against you, Jesus broke through for you. He disarmed them. Every word that was spoken about you and against you, Jesus canceled it. The Bible says he canceled it. He erased it. He deleted it. There is now no record of any curse. The Bible says the curse of the law was broken. So it doesn't matter who said anything and who said what about you, and they died before they amended that. We came to tell you by the word of God, Jesus took it away. Whatever curse that was declared over your life, Jesus broke it on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, and they that God has blessed, no man can curse. You are not cursable. Is that such a word in English? I came to say you are not cursable. Let me say it until you believe it. You are not cursable, because you are blessed of God. You are the blessed ones of God. And they that God has blessed, no man can curse. The Bible says there is no witchcraft against Israel, no divination against Jacob. Nobody can curse they that Jesus has blessed through his sacrifice. So that person who called you a failure, we serve them with a memo right now that they were wrong. You are not a failure. You are, they said you'll never amount to anything. We cancel that in the name of Jesus. Jesus broke through for you. They said that you'll be the last. We nullify that in Jesus' name. You will be the first and not the last. You will be the head and not the tail, in the name of Jesus. And lastly, the Bible says he disarmed all powers and principalities. Every person who is fully submitted to the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ cannot be possessed by the enemy. The enemy might try to possess them, but they cannot. They can be oppressed, but we thank God because of his victory. So today I want to tell you that the biggest breakthrough Jesus did for you is that he nullified, he canceled, he disarmed every power and principality that is at work. That is when I pray for someone to get healed, I do it with all authority and I say, in the name of Jesus, spirit of infirmity be gone, because Jesus disarmed every principality. So at the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin, the power of shame, and the power of death. Jesus has conquered everything. He is your breakthrough. Jehovah Perazim. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us yet another name of God. Jehovah Perazim, the Lord God, our breakthrough. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to pray for everybody in the hearing of my voice who needs a breakthrough in any area of their life. Jehovah Perazim, breakthrough for them right now in Jesus' name. Break through those blocked channels. Break through those communication barriers. Break through those mental conditions. Break through those diagnoses. Break through those difficult contracts and issues at work in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray that you may break through in families in Jesus' name. Father God, where divorce papers are on the table, we speak a breakthrough in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, people who are at the verge of giving up and quitting on many fronts in life, we speak a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, when you broke through for your children, you made a dry path in the Red Sea. Jordan, on its flood time, Lord, you made a dry path and they walked through. When the enemies were there, Lord, tailing them, and they all got submerged in the Red Sea. Lord, I pray, make a way where there seems to be no way. When Jericho was shut up, that no one came in or came out or went out, Lord, by one trumpet blow on the seventh day, on the seventh March, my God, the walls came down. Those places where, God, we've been denied access, Lord, we are speaking access right now in the name of Jesus. Access to people, access to our children, access to our family members. We're speaking access, Lord, even to places of authority. We are speaking access even in our workplaces, God. Promotions right now in Jesus' mighty name. We command every gatekeeper who is not in accordance with your will to move out of the way, for the King of Glory is coming in the name of Jesus. We pray for this town, oh God. Let there be the breaking through of the power of God. The breaking through like the mighty waters of the power of God. Bringing revival in Crowley. Bringing righteous invasion in Crowley. In the name of Jesus Christ. We speak a breakthrough in this nation, oh God. Oh, we speak a breakthrough in this nation, my Father. Where the enemy has tried to bring up blockades and barriers, we break them down right now in the name of Jesus. Bible says the King of Glory is coming. May the King of Glory make an invasion in this land in the name of Jesus. Let there be revival in this land, oh God. Let our streets be full of praise and glory. Let our streets be full of love in Jesus' name. Where there has been hatred, we speak love, oh God. Where there has been bloodshed, we speak a cleansing in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough in our schools, oh God. Breakthrough in our colleges and our universities, oh God. Breakthrough in this land for the glory and honor of your name. Jehovah Perazim, we love you and we exalt your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.